Well, thank you, Brother Tim. We'll know how to pray about their situation better. Of course, pray for Marissa and the baby also. Doctors are concerned. They can hardly treat the cancers they want to because it would be too strong. The treatment would be too strong for the baby. So they are praying. We are praying, and they are, that they can take the baby a little early. Can't take it too early. And then go ahead and direct their treatment toward Marissa. We can't question God's ways. Both of them feel that they are in God's will to make this move at this time. Good church up there. We know the pastor. He's come and taught in our college some for us, Brother Ashley. Good church. It was a church where Randy Michaels was one of our staff here that attended. God called him home to heaven from there, and we had the funeral up there. But if God's in it, he knows how to take care of it. I would like to ask you, though, as your pastor, put in some extra time on prayer. Look to the Word and pick up some verses, maybe like Mark 11:24 or some others, last verses there in the book of James and so forth. Pick up some verses and claim them for Marissa and Tim, and make it a special time of prayer. Brother Baker's back there. He's ushering tonight, and yet he was just about crossed over within a few hours, and God answered prayer and turned it around. Brother Scotty Drake's back there, I believe. Scotty was just as close to heaven as he could be, and maybe already peeked inside and just won't tell us what he saw. I don't know, but I know he was close, and God certainly answered prayer. So we ask God to do it again. Let's ask him to do it again for Marissa and Tim and this whole situation, that the Lord Jesus will be lifted up and get the honor and glory. Tonight I'm going to just ask you to, and I'm not making a definite promise, but I am hoping I'm going to be short tonight. No promises. Matthew chapter 3. One thing, I can't seem to get this throat to clear. Don't give me any home remedies now, please. If they worked, I'd already live forever. Amen. I've had so many of them. But Matthew chapter 3, familiar verses. Verses that have to do with John the Baptist. And I want to talk to you on the subject tonight, and just more teaching maybe than preaching. On the subject, the wrath of God. It's mentioned that way several times in the scripture. And to rightly divide the book and get everything in its rightful place and in its context, Matthew chapter 3 says, "In these days came John the Baptist," not John the Methodist, "John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea," not John the Presbyterian, not John the Episcopalian, not John the Catholic, John the Baptist with a capital B. Amen. In your King James. Amen. John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." And you say, that don't sound too tasty. Well, it might be if you was in the wilderness. Truth is, there's a lot of talk about what it was, but it might be just what it says. Grasshoppers and wild honey. How many of you know that's what a locust looks like? All right. See, if I get hung up like that, I'll go all night. Got to watch out for it. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers," snakes, "who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come." That's the statement I want you to get. "Warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to raise these stones, of these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I want to make an observation here with you very, very quickly. He says he'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Have you ever been in a church service when somebody asked God to do that? Lord, just baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And if I'm there, I'll say, please, Lord, don't. Because I know what that means. That's God's wrath later on, the fire. Now, we sometimes use fire, you know, sometimes I watch some of this political news, this corruption in Washington, and I get fired up. That's a different kind of fire. This is the fire that the Lord is going to come back in judgment. Yes, he baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and yes, he will baptize with fire, but I want to tell you that fire is and John knew this, when he comes back in judgment fire. See, it's right in the text if you look at it. If you look at it right here, it gives the description. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand. Now, do you understand the old thrashing floor? They had a big thing, a man-made, man-used, man-powered fan. And here's the way they separated the chaff, or the husk, we'd say, as a country boy, from the grain. They pitched it up. The fan made a wind. In fact, they liked to have the natural wind when they would do it, because as it went up in the air, the lighter chaff would blow away and the heavier grain would land on the floor. Jesus is coming back to separate, amen? He's going to separate the grain from the chaff. And what did they do with the chaff? Well, they put it in a pile and they burned it. Some of us started off in the country, we remember sort of that sort of stuff. And if you never lived unless you got in the dust of having to harvest peanuts, amen, don't even want to think about it. But the truth is, John knew what was going on. He knew about the wrath of God here. Now, there's a lot of discussion today about this. How much did John know? I think he knew a lot. I really think he knew a lot. He knew who the Lamb of God was that taketh away the sin of the world, didn't he? He knew Jesus, and he knew what his purpose was. And somebody says, did John know of the church age? I think that he did. Because, see, the church age we refer to has been 2,000 years since the coming of Christ. And yes, he said, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He must have known he was going to pay a price for our sin on the cross. I think he knew quite a bit. I really do. But later on, you find, now here he tells the Pharisees and Sadducees, who warn you to flee from the wrath of God. Later on, Paul talks about the wrath of God. And if you want to go with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's look at the first 9 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. And he tells them of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. I'm not going to read it all except to say this. He comes down and he's talking to them about the coming of the Lord for sure. He's telling them not to sleep as others do. And then he says in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us, here's the same word, to wrath. John warned the Pharisees, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Here Paul says, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word salvation there, yes, it can mean spiritual salvation, but it can also mean salvation from the wrath that's going to come on earth. If you rightly divide, get it in its context. So Paul is saying, and I'm sure glad he said this, you and I are not going to endure the wrath of God in the tribulation period that falls upon this old earth. We are going to be caught out. Praise God.
I said something about the rapture today. I said, do we really believe it? Do we really believe the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be gone? And yes, we'll lose our opportunity to witness to our loved ones. We better be doing it now. We don't know if we got a day or year or 5 or 10. But I'll tell you what, we ought to be busy about it. It's important. It's important. And Paul here says God's going to save us from the wrath to come. Now, we're in a day and time when social media is everywhere with every kind of heresy on it you can name. And some of you folks are going to, you are confused. Many of you already are because you've been reading everything. The Bible calls it every wind of doctrine. Be careful about that business. It's out there. It'll fool you. It'll deceive you. It'll mix you up. And the truth is, that's why you ought to be a member of a good local Bible-believing church with a preacher that'll preach it to you like it is. And brother, when you hear the heresy, you'll recognize it. I remember one time in our day school here, we had the banker come by, and the head banker come by to talk to our class, Christian man, good man. And he came in the classroom and he spoke to our kids. And then finally at the end, he gave a question and answer time. And the kids asked him all kind of questions. Here was one of the big ones they asked. How can you teach your employees at the bank to recognize all the counterfeit that comes through? He said, I don't teach them to do that. He said, I teach them to recognize the genuine money, and then they'll easily recognize anything that differs. Listen to me, church member. You get straight, you'll recognize all that's not straight. You get right, you'll recognize everything that's wrong. If you into your Bible and you know what is right, you won't be deceived, and the deceivers are multiplying every day out there, and the deception is growing. It's one of the big signs of the Lord's coming is the age of deception. But Paul is saying the wrath of God, hey, there's a difference in the wrath of God and the wrath of man. We're already feeling the wrath of man today against the church. I mean a real church. We're already feeling the wrath of God against Christians. Christian Baker put out of business because he wouldn't bake a cake for a homosexual marriage. That kind of persecution is hitting the businessmen, the Christian businessmen. It's hitting the churches. These Christian attorneys are warning us over and over as a church, do not be shocked, be ready, be prepared. You're going to be tested. The homosexuals are going to come in. They're going to walk down this aisle and they're going to say, well, we want to get married, 2 men, 2 women. And the preacher's going to say, no way. And they're going to file suit. That's working everywhere. That's the wrath of man. Satan uses men against men. He uses nations against nations. He is going to use every force he can against Christianity, and it's going to increase as the time draws nigh. Yes, it is. But you know what? We've got a promise. We're going to have the day come when God's going to hide us, put us in a safe place. You know, when God brought judgment in the days of Noah, what did he do with Noah? He let him rise above it on the ark. We're going to rise above it one day. I don't know how bad it's going to get before the trumpet sounds, but we are going to rise above it. We're getting out of here. Paul spoke about it as the gathering together with him. And listen, the tribulation period is not to punish the believer's sin. The believer's sin was punished on the cross of Calvary. Some folks get a little bit mixed up. They say, well, you Christians, you've got it easier than any group that ever lived. Yes, I agree. But we don't have to go through the trib to get our sins purged or paid for. They were already paid for on the cross of Calvary, thank God. Some folks are a little mixed up on that, really mixed up. But you know, the Old Testament kind of hints about us, sort of like Noah being put in a safe place. Being a rise as it was above it. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to give you a few minutes, but you're on your own time here now. You better move. Isaiah chapter 26. See, all through the Old Testament, the truth that you find in the New Testament is often hidden. It is often hinted at. It is often clear if you know what is right, you'll see it. And here in Isaiah chapter 26, you can kind of see this. Listen to it in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 26, last two verses. He says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. If that don't sound like the rapture, what in the world would it be? We, in the word chambers, this is a wedding picture. Going back into the interior, going back into the chambers, being hid away. That's exactly what's going to take place at the rapture. God's going to call his bride out. We're going to go into the inner chamber with him. And while we are at the marriage supper of the Lamb, God's wrath is going to begin to pour on planet Earth. And evil men, book of Jude tells you about it, they've spoken ungodly against God. They're going to have to pay for it. They're going to face it. You know, I like to find verses like that because they're a little bit more abstract. They're a little bit off the beaten course, but they teach the same thing. We are going to be caught up. We are going to rise above. We are going to be protected from the wrath of God. The wrath of God fell on his son, the Lord Jesus, that he, as he died in our place as our substitute and paid our price. That's what happened when God, when Jesus cried, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Father had to turn his back on the Son because his Son had taken my sin upon him. And the wrath of God had to fall on judgment on the cross. You know, this is not a new truth I'm talking to you about tonight. Sometimes folks want to say that, well, the rapture come in later. Some young girl had a dream and all that kind of stuff. Don't you pay any attention to that. The old folks, the earliest people in Christianity, believed in the blessed hope that one day God would catch us out. Amen. If you read, and I don't want to get long on it, but go over to the book of Jude with me now. If you find Revelation, go back just to the book of Jude before you get there. Only one chapter, 25 verses, little book of Jude. Boy, it's packed full, though. Jude is really, really packed full. If you go back to Jude, go to verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15. And here we have a reference to a man by the name of Enoch. Of course, we read about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, don't we? You remember Enoch? He was the one that was translated, didn't see death, right? He walked with God. Somebody said that Enoch was in such fellowship, close fellowship with God. They were walking one day, as it were, in those days, maybe somewhere close to the Garden of Eden, walking along, and it got kind of late in the day, and Enoch said, "Lord, it's getting late. I better go home." And the Lord said, "Well, it's too late. Just come on up home with me." Amen. And now that's addition to the word. Don't say that. But it's okay to assume that because he was translated. He didn't see death. He went on with God. And I pick it up here in verse 14. Enoch, also the seventh from Adam. That's what it says in the genealogy. Prophesied of thee, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches." Must have been watching fake news. "All their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Boy, the truth will be out then. He's coming back to deal with them. Yes, that's the coming in glory. Yes, he's coming back with the army of heaven, but he's going to catch us up. We're going to enlist in his army. We're already enlisted, and we're coming back with him. We're going to be in that army of 10,000 saints that Jude is referring to here. Yes, we are. We're coming back. And you got the word Enoch here in the little book of Jude. There is a book of Enoch. It is a good possibility that Jude was quoting from what we would call the book of Enoch. Now, it's not a Bible book. It's been somewhat perverted. If you read and study on it, you'll have a book called First Enoch. You'll have another one called Second Enoch. You'll have another one called Third Enoch. The last two are fakes. They've been messed with. The first one is probably fairly accurate, what we would call First Enoch. And it is interesting what Enoch has to say, talking about the rapture not being a new idea. It is kind of interesting what is said about it. I go over to the book of Hebrews, if you go over there with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Pick it up with me in verse 5 and 6, Hebrews chapter 11. It's okay to bring your Bible to church and use it. Isn't that a strange thing, a church that would use the Bible? Right? Something wrong. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He goes on to say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, that's a great testimony concerning Enoch. And going back to Genesis 5, and you read about it. But the very opening chapter, or the very opening verses in the book of Enoch, basically tells you that it is written to the people of the tribulation period about God's judgment going to come. And I like this. I like this part of Jude. It lines up with what we believe the New Testament teaches. And that is that we're going to be caught out before the wrath of God. Now, if you go back with me to the book of Enoch, I want to see if I can show you something. I was reading. I said, go back with me to the book of Enoch. You don't have that, do you? Why don't you? We're talking about the book of Jude. Go back with me to the book of Jude. And the book of Jude mentions Enoch. Mentions Enoch, of course. And I'm looking for something here. Let's go. Ooh, I hope I can find it. All right, let's go to verse 21 in the book of Jude. Here's the verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I want you to watch it. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, I want you to pick up two words. The, not a, but the mercy. If you were reading in the book of Jude, which you don't have, but if you were reading in there, you would find out that the word mercy, specifically the mercy, is a synonym for what you and I call the rapture today. Here's what Enoch is saying. He is simply saying, look for the catching up. Look for the mercy of God. What is the mercy of God? The mercy of God is taking us out before the judgment of God's wrath falls on the tribulation period. And he refers to it as the mercy. So when somebody says to you, well, the rapture, you know, that's something new. No, it goes all the way back to the man that walked with God and was not because God took him. Enoch. And that is a something that blessed my heart. I like to read the old stuff. I like to kind of dig in. And that just reaffirms what I already knew, that we're not going to be hearing the wrath of God. God's wrath is going to fall on sin, sinful men. That's what Jude says, those with the ungodly speeches against God, the hard speeches against God. Boy, I'll tell you, as you watch TV today, watch the news, sometime my wife will hear me mumbling under my breath. I'm not going to tell you what I mumble. I do direct a few words sometime before I realize it at that crowd. But she'll say, won't you turn that thing off? I said, it does my blood pressure good. Yeah. It stimulates me. It inspires me. It makes me mad, tell you the truth. But in all honesty, they're going to get theirs one day. And we're going to be caught out before God's wrath falls. John the Baptist said to the Pharisees, who told you to flee the wrath? Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? And Jesus is coming back in wrath one day. He came the first time in love, didn't he? Amen. He come to die on the cross. He's not coming to die on the cross again. He's coming back to catch out his bride. By the way, all literature, almost of history, testifies to that truth. Did you know that? How many of you ever remember the old scene
where the villain is tying the pretty girl to the red railroad track. You remember that? That goes way back, way back. And in the nick of time, the good guy saves her. Anybody remember that? Well, all your novels, all your movies, all your books are built on that theme. Now, did you ever go to some of those deep cowboy movies I went to as a kid, where the good guy wore a white hat and often rode a white horse? And no matter how rough it got, I always knew who was going to win, didn't you? I always knew the bad guy was going to lose and the good guy was going to win. Do you know where the white horse and the white hat come from? It come right out of the book of Revelation. When Jesus comes back, he comes back on a white horse. He comes back as the deliverer. He comes back in the nick of time. He comes back to rescue, put down the villain and rescue the girl off the railroad track and to save the ranch and to ride off and tip his hat and the horse rear up a little bit. You remember that? That's Bible. That's Bible. That's where they got it from. Amen. And the truth of the matter is that's how it's going to happen. He is coming back. He is the victor. He is the winner. I go back here to Enoch. He had a son, remember in Genesis? His name was Methuselah. Remember that? Don't we ask the kids who's the oldest man, you know, that ever lived? And what was it, 19,096 years? Waking you up now. 969 years, is that correct? Say amen. All right. That was Methuselah. If you divide the spelling of the name of Methuselah, you'll find an interesting thing. You start off with the word meth, M-E-T-H. Now, today we know about the dope scene, the meth, and they cook it in the house. I saw in the paper where the sheriff was commenting, found a meth house up here behind us up here in Davenport. I was coming through the backside of Georgia the other day, and Chad Stanley and I, and Chad said, there's a meth house. They just busted right over there. And you know, people are crazy, aren't they? He was telling me how potent and dangerous and how they die with that stuff. I don't want to get off on it except say, man, that's a sad commentary on human beings, isn't it? You know what you can do with tobacco, alcohol, meth, dope, cocaine? You can put it out on your doorstep all night long. Not one raccoon will bother it. Not one old hog will bother it. Not one old dog will bother it. They got more sense than humans. Only one that bothers humans. Amen, Mickey, amen. But if you take the word Methuselah, and you took the word meth, and you take the word Methuselah at the end, Methuselah comes from the word you see through the Psalms all the time. It's Selah. Right? And while it means amen or so be it, and as we think about it with the psalm, it also carries the meaning with it. That word Selah means it will be sent. The word meth means death. Isn't it interesting how it still means death today in the dope scene? Meth means death. Selah means it will be sent. So here's what Methuselah means. It means when he dies, it will come. It will be sent. It is the deluge. It is the flood in Noah's day. Judgment. 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 But wasn't God good? He let them know. Watch this fella. If he gets a little bit sick and starts to die, judgment's coming. God's given us all kind of signs today to know judgment's coming. Amen. Giving us warning. Somebody's done a little arithmetic on this thing with Methuselah and so forth. You can add the date, what the Jews give as the date of the creation act. You can add that to his birth. You can read about it in Genesis 5. Then you can add the age of Methuselah, 960, what did we say, 7, 9? Add it together, and it's interesting. It takes you up to the very date when the flood came. And according to the ancient book of Jasher, now I'm quoting another non-Bible book, but also mentioned in the Bible, the book of Jasher. It's got some interesting stuff in it. Again, it's not in the Bible because it don't belong there. It's been tampered with, but it's old. It's as old as the Bible books, just like Enoch's book is. Old.
It runs pretty well parallel with the Bible. But if you take those years and you add them up to when the flood came, the ancient book of Joshua says that when Methuselah died, he died 1 week before the flood. And he died on the same day that Noah entered the ark. Now, can't prove that, but I wouldn't doubt it. I think they might have it pretty accurate. And the truth of the matter is, the good part is Noah got lifted up above, the wrath of God fell on earth. That's what the flood was. That's what the judgment was. But Noah just cruised above it. One day when the trumpet sounds, we're going to cruise up there with the Lord. We're going to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. God's wrath is going to be falling on the Antichrist and all of his forces on planet earth. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the one coming back. He's the white horse you want to watch for. He wants to be your champion. He wants to be your savior. He wants to deliver you. And he will if you give him, if you'll give him a chance. I hope you know him tonight as savior. We as God's people can talk about these a little bit deeper things and rejoice over them because it all fits together. And God's plan is good. And if the world says, oh, those Christians, they don't have no fun. They just, you know, they just go around and drag the bottom lip and they dress funny and they don't talk like us and they don't drink like us and they don't cuss like us. That's okay. Just keep it up, brother. We got something better we're interested in. And one day when the trumpet sounds, we're going to see who turns out the best. We're not fearing the wrath of God. If you're unsaved tonight, you ought to fear the wrath of God. Oh, yes, it can come in many ways. But one day, as the little book of Jude says, the Lord's coming back to judge the earth. Then all the big talk, then all the ungodly speeches, all the corruption is going to be met and dealt with. Tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the answer. He's the safety. And you don't have to fear the wrath of God. If you're born again, it's not for you. It's for the enemies of God. And it will come. It will come one day. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer, Lord. We just went through some verses very quickly there, Lord, and yet we thank you. Thank you for the blessed hope that Jesus is coming back for the bride, coming back for the saved, going to take us above the fray, above the trib, above the judgment. And Father, we're going to be preserved just like Noah was in the ark. We thank you for that. Thank you for the Lord Jesus that suffered the wrath on our sin on himself, that we can be saved and be sure of it. Bless now, Father, the invitation tonight. Help us as your people to rejoice in what we have in Christ. And if there be one in Radio Land or here in the building, unsaved, we pray for their soul right now. Pray they'd understand what we're talking about. That one day without Christ, they'll face the very wrath of God upon their sins. Bless the invitation, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, whatever God's asked you to do, you do it.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender. to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all.
All right, we're going to let you be seated in the congregation for a moment. We have a lady there that Sister Condon's going to be praying with. We're going to have these come. We're going to have Brother Douglas Henry. Doug, come stand up here with us.